Rincewind heard whistles blowing behind him by the time he reached the corner, but he never let that sort of thing worry him. This was a city. Cities were so much easier. He was a creature of cities. There were so many places to... Whistles started blowing up ahead as well. The crowds were thicker here, and most people were heading in the same direction. But Rincewind liked crowds to run through. As they pursued, he had novelty on his side and could shoulder his way past the unsuspecting, who then turned around and milled about and complained and were definitely not in the right frame of mind to greet the people following him. Rincewind could run through a crowd like a ball on a bagatelle board and always got an extra go. Downhill was best. That's where they generally put docks, so as to have them closer to the water. Dodging and ducking across the streets brought him suddenly to the waterside. There were a few boats there. They were on the small side for a stowaway, but there were running footsteps in the dark. These watchmen were too good. This wasn't how it was supposed to go. They weren't supposed to double back. They weren't supposed to think. He ran in the only direction left, along the waterfront. There was a building there. At least it, well, it had to be a building. No one could have left an open box of tissues that big. Rincewind felt that a building should be a box with a pointed lid on it, basically, and it should be the approximate colour of whatever the local mud was. On the other hand, as the philosopher Li Tin Weedle once remarked, it is never wise to object to the decor of a hidey hole. He bounded up the steps and circled around the strange white building. It seemed to be some kind of music hall. Opera, by the sound of it, although it was a damn funny place to sing opera. You couldn't imagine ladies with horns in a building that looked about to set sail. But no time to wonder about that. There was a door with some rubbish bins outside it, and here was the door open.
"You from the agency, mate?"
Rincewind peered into the steam.
"And I hope you can do puddings, because Sheffy's banging his head on the wall."
Went on a figure emerging from the wisps. It was wearing a tall white hat. "No worries," said Rincewind, hopefully. "Ah, this is a kitchen, is it?"
"You pulling my leg?"
"Only I thought it was some kind of opera house or something."
"Best bloody opera house in the world, mate. Come on this way."
It wasn't a very big kitchen, and like most of the ones Rincewind had been in, it was full of men working very hard at cross purposes.
"The boss upstairs only decided to throw a big dinner for the prima donna," said the cook, forcing his way through the throng, "and all of a sudden Charlie sees the pudding staring at him in the face."
"Ah, right," said Rincewind, on the basis that sooner or later he'd be given a clue.
"Boss says you can do the pudding for her, Charlie."
"Just like that, eh?
He says it ought to be the best one yet, Charlie."
"No worries.
He says the great Nunco invented the strawberry Sackville for Dame Wendy Sackville, and the famous chef Imposo created the apple glazier for Dame Margarine Glazier, and your own father, Charlie, honoured Dame Janine Ormolu with the orange Ormolu, and tonight, Charlie, it's your big chance."
The cook shook his head as he reached a table where a small man in a white uniform was sobbing uncontrollably into his hands. There was a stack of empty beer cans in front of him.
"Poor bastard's been on the beer ever since, and we thought we'd better get someone in. I'm a steak and prawns man myself."
"So, you want me to make a pudding named after an opera singer," said Rincewind. "That's the tradition, is it?"
"Yeah, and you'd better not let Charlie down, mate. It's not his fault."
"Oh, well,"
Rincewind thought about puddings. Basically, it was just fruit and cream and custard, wasn't it? And cakes and stuff. He couldn't see where the problem lay.
"No worries," he said. "I think I can knock up something right away."
The kitchen became silent as the scurrying cooks stopped to watch him.
"First," said Rincewind, "what fruit have we got?"
"Peaches was all we could find at this time of night."
"No worries. And we've got some cream?"
"Yep, of course."
"Fine, fine. Then all I need to know is the name of the lady in question."
He felt the silence open up.
"She's a beaut singer, mind you," said a cook in a defensive tone of voice.
"Good. And her name?" said Rincewind.
That's the trouble, see," said another cook.
"Why?"
Ponder opened his eyes. The water was calm, or at least calmer than it had been. There were even patches of blue sky above, although cloud banks were crisscrossing the air as if each were in possession of its own bag of wind. His mouth tasted as though he'd been sucking a tin spoon. Around him, some of the wizards managed to push themselves to their knees. The Dean frowned, removed his hat, and pulled out a small crab.
"It's a good boat," he muttered.
The green mast stem still stood, although the leaf sail looked ragged. Nevertheless, the boat was tacking nicely against the wind off the continent. It was a red wall, glowing under the thunder light.